Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Jordana Abraham, Sammy Sage, and me, Aileen Drexler. We talk about it all, from the latest celeb drama to the best movies and TV shows out now. We share all of our thoughts, even the unpopular ones. Welcome to our pop culture group chat.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Sammy.
I'm Aileen.
And I'm Jordana. Lots to talk about today. I get laughed at every time I try to do an intro. I don't know why.
I think it's funny because you started the tagline of saying we have a lot to talk about in pop culture, which just sounds so like, how do you do, fellow kids? But now it's become the real line that we say.
A lot of people have been asking what's going on in pop culture.
Right, like even saying like what's going on in pop culture is like how's the weather?
Well, what are you supposed to call it?
It's just like
a lot happening.
What's the big gossip?
Yeah.
What are we talking about today?
So much is going on in business.
So much is going on like in business, in the economy.
Should we start Small Business Woman magazine?
Three Betch Movers magazine.
Oh man. Pop culture. What is going on in pop culture? This isn't going on in pop culture, but I've been watching a show, a British show. From like that started in 2017. It's like not, maybe they're doing the last season now, but it's so refreshing to watch.
What's it called?
It's called The Unforgotten. I'm watching it on Prime.
Is it good? It's good?
Yeah. I mean, I like it, but it's more so just like kind of refreshing. I think it was on PBS Masterpiece originally. But it's refreshing because like so many British shows, especially like detective shows, they're just like feature regular people. No, but it's not. There's so many. They feature like regular people and it's not like glitzy and glamoury. And I don't feel like I'm watching like Selling Sunset. You know what I mean?
Yes. I kind of agree. What is that show that
Bad
like,
Sisters?
No.
That's
Irish.
Broadchurch, first
What's
of all.
Broadchurch. That was the one along the sea.
Yeah. It's sort of like, but Olivia Colman is so famous and so is the other guy.
What's that other one with Olivia Colman where they buried the people in their yard? But they're British.
That was on HBO.
Yeah, but that also had the same sort of vibe, which I like.
I know what you're talking about.
It's not the same though. I mean like a standard, it's like a standard detective show.
That was on BBC, like originally.
Yeah. And okay, so before that Before that I was watching this other British/French show called The Tunnel, and it stars like Stannis Baratheon. And that was not at that. I like The Unforgotten more, but I'm just on this like it's weird because it's soothing, but it's about like really fucked up murders.
I like that. Yeah, like something I'd be into.
But it's like subtle, and I like just can't stop watching it.
I like that too. It's like a good vibe. It's not
No, but it's like the murders are like about children, and it's like really fucked
up. I haven't seen that. I'm just talking about British shows in general. I like what you're saying about how they're not like so glitzy, and they're not. It's all kind of just dependent on the script and the acting.
The acting is so good, and I haven't seen like many of these actors before, and it's almost like you believe that these are just like real people,
right? Because you don't have their whole. Right. Their whole history.
And they don't
in your
have
head.
Like so much Botox. You know, it just feel like real people.
I think this could be a segment. It's like, what sort of obscure show are you watching that you like kind of want to recommend, but like not wholeheartedly, but like sort of?
You need like a PBS Masterpiece like subscription to watch this, which
you
I've been stealing.
One?
No, I've been stealing from my dad. Don't tell Amazon Prime.
Your dad has one?
Yeah, because he recommended this to me. So.
Okay. Oh. You know, I like the idea of an obscure show segment because it would give me a little more permission to watch them without feeling like this was a total waste of my time and I should be watching something I could talk about for my job, which does happen sometimes.
Do you know what I like on that note? This isn't that obscure because it has major celebrities in it. Platonic on Apple TV.
I heard
good things about that.
I haven't watched it yet.
I don't like endorse it wholeheartedly, but it's like an entertaining
watch. That's what I've heard about.
You feel that about That's okay. Yeah. You know,
that's what I've heard. Is like, it's like a half endorsement about this show. It's yes, like good. And like some people find it funny and some people are like, it's a little like cheesy funny. Like it's not like so funny.
I wouldn't say it's cheesy. It's like a little like stupid sometimes, but
right, maybe that's it.
It's kind of like, but sometimes there's like a really funny line. Do you know what I mean? And just like, it's fun to watch Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne because they're just like funny actors. But the plot is like sort of stupid. The plot is basically just like Rose Byrne and Seth Rogen are platonic friends. And that's like the whole
and
plot.
And that's it. Right. And her accent goes in and out, right?
Yeah.
That's the all part I've heard.
Right. That part is weird. But like, it's like, it's a kind of a clowny show. I enjoyed it. I think if there was like really good TV on right now, which there's not, I probably wouldn't be looking forward to it so much. But the finale was last night and I was like so excited. But it's really because I have nothing else to watch.
Should try the you should get a PBS Masterpiece login.
Oh well, now on the note of obscure weird crime shows, is I've been watching. I think that my TV is listening to me because I'm being fed like Married to Evil on HBO Max about like people who are married to like murderers, and then I've also been watching Betrayal, which was like, you know, in Hulu randomly shows you like an ABC podcast to documentary type yeah. thing.
Yeah.
So not I watched really. That too. They're all like pretty bad, but oh, you know, did you guys see that show with Kaylee Cuoco and
oh no, not and the guy Chris Messina
about the true crime podcasts?
Is it good?
Oh, I did see that is happening. It came up on my scroll. What do you? What do
we
you think
watched
of it?
The whole thing in like 2 days.
Oh, so you liked it?
Not necessarily. I didn't say that.
I mean, watching something in 2 days.
You just were so excited to tell us about a show.
Yeah, right.
No, but I didn't. But it's like, again, it's one of those, you know, one of those shows you're like, I need to finish this, but I don't like it that much.
Yeah, it's bad, good.
Yes.
We've talked about this, but we've talked about these distinctions before. It's bad, good.
It's bad. This is another one that is bad, good. Like kind of funny premise, but also like sort of absurd.
I keep forgetting what good, bad versus bad good means.
Bad good is something that's like not done necessarily perfectly well, but you still really like it.
Okay.
And good bad is something that's good, that's supposed to be good, but it's actually not as good as like it's positioned as being and as like well as it's done. Like,
give us examples.
It should be better. Maybe like The Undoing is good bad. And like I'm not sure like what you were, I think based on a true story is like bad, good. And like,
that makes sense.
What's that show we liked a while ago with Lucy and Steven? Lying. Oh. Tell Me Lies.
Tell Me Lies. That's bad, good.
And then another good, bad show would be like stuff on like HBO would be like that.
You know what that show that
like The Idol. I mean, no, that's bad.
The Idol's like bad, bad. Yeah.
Bad.
Gilded Age,
I think, sort is good, bad. Good, bad. Good, bad. Yeah.
You know what show is bad, good also? Is any of you watch Beef?
Yes. I watched the first half.
Some of it, but yeah, that is bad, good.
Like, it could have been really good, but it's not. It's bad, like, good. Bad, good.
Yeah. But it wasn't positioned to be, like, amazing. And there aren't, like, parts of it that are done, like, so well that you're like, this is good, you know?
I feel like when you say good or bad, you really mean, like, lowbrow or highbrow.
Not really, though, because it's like has to do with how it is, like how it actually turns out.
Okay, for example, Gilded Age, intention, high, very good. So you're saying it's bad. It's bad.
No, I'm saying it's good, bad. Gilded Age is good, bad. Gilded Age is good, bad. We agreed, right?
Oh, it's good, bad. I thought we were saying it was bad, good.
Tell Me Lies is bad, good. Beef is bad, good.
So the first word is the intention.
And
the second word is like the actual
what
effect.
What you felt about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. Okay, that's so much better as a formula.
And think about it. You can remember it because the intention comes before the result.
So Gilded Age is good, bad.
Good, bad.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And like True Blood, for example. Let me do it.
I'm not. That's a tough one, though.
I think True Blood is either good, good. Or bad, good?
I think it was good, bad for its time, but it's bad, good for now.
Okay. If you guys are still with us.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches. Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere, and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But FrameBridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love FrameBridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. FrameBridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then FrameBridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Speaking of shows, let's talk about the Emmys.
There are so many exciting things.
I am excited to watch the Emmys.
Me too.
I haven't been excited to watch any awards show. I don't know.
She's counting down. September 18th.
Oh, man. I hope I'm not in the hospital then, but I would like to watch it.
Could be your birthing soundtrack.
And the award
for best. You coach you through.
Yes, for best drama Succession. And I'm like,
The drama would be you giving birth.
You can name your son Brian Cox.
Or Logan Roy.
Logan Roy Drexler.
I did say that a few times. The funny thing about the nominees, first of all, Succession got 27. Just want to holler at our BFFs. Also funny within Succession is that Brian Cox, Kendall, and Roman are all nominated for Best Actor in a drama series, which is so fun.
They're not all going to win.
Who do you think is going to win of those? Kendall.
I think Kieran Culkin's going to win.
No. I think Kendall.
I mean, again, we're replaying the dynamic that I'm not rooting for Kendall.
Has Brian Cox won before? I feel like he has.
Jeremy Strong has won.
He's won. Oh, so maybe then Roman might win. No, it's not about who I'm rooting for. It's more about who do I think they're going to pick.
I think they're going to pick Kieran Culkin because he hasn't won yet. Because I think this season he
was better.
I think he stretched further than Kendall did in this season.
Potentially, you're right. Sarah Snook might also win Best Actress in a drama.
I think she's going to win for the scene on the boat.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what else like was notable. Vanderpump Rules.
Vanderpump
was nominated, which hilarious. Is just you could never have predicted. It's like Donald Trump being the president.
Who is the one who gets the award for that?
I bet the executive producers.
Yeah.
Right.
Also funny, notable, is that The Bear was nominated like many, many times, I think 13, but for comedy. Like everyone in the comments, like I was looking at Jeremy Allen White's Instagram and all of them, and like, so proud of you, but in what fucking world is this a comedy? And I'm like, I guess I kind of see it maybe in terms of just like the process or logistics. They have to decide whether they label themselves as comedy, and they knew that they had no chance of winning drama if Succession is in there. So maybe they like submitted themselves as sort of a comedy, but I feel like The Bear is a comedy just the same as Succession is a comedy.
I would think that Succession is more of a comedy, but obviously they want the prestige of being drama.
Do you watch The Bear?
Yeah.
I've watched like the first season.
But I don't like it that much.
Did you watch the second season?
No,
I didn't watch the second season, but I will watch the second season.
I love chef shows. So like, just love right. it. Like, I love Ratatouille. I love Top Chef.
I do want to watch season two.
I think I particularly don't like chef shows. You know that movie Chef?
I love that movie.
I didn't see that movie.
I love it. I've seen it like 400 times.
I didn't see it. Jennifer Coolidge nominated, rooting for her.
I feel like she'll win just because like.
I think she will too.
She's, you know. She's the moment.
Jennifer Coolidge is best supporting actress in a drama series.
Oh, that was smart of them to put her in that category.
Also, Megan Faye from White Lotus, too, is in there. So is Sabrina Impacciatore, Aubrey Plaza. Oh, my God. J. Smith Cameron from Succession.
That's going to be hard. I do think Jennifer Coolidge will win, though.
Okay. Let's talk about Britney Spears. She had kind of a chaotic week last week, but now she has a book coming out. So it's called The Woman in Me. Comes out October 24th. There was a bidding war and it's being published by Gallery.
Gallery, like who published our book? Great.
Yeah. It's already topped the bestseller list in its pre-sale. I'm not surprised. And Brittany says, my book is coming out very, very soon. I worked my ass off for this book. I had a lot of therapy to get this book done. So you guys better like it. If you don't like it, that's fine too.
Imagine editing.
Keep going.
She goes, someone who writes that way. She added, I'm going to Bermuda, Bahamas. Come on, pretty mama. Miyago. Is it Machigo? Machigo, baby, why don't we go?
She said, I thought it was Montego. And I thought it was Key Largo. Montego.
I thought so too. I don't know.
Whatever. This is Britney's interpretation. This is Britney's version.
Britney's version. Why isn't she going to the Caymans?
She obviously had to have had a writer.
Ghostwriter.
A ghostwriter. Yeah. I hope.
I hope so, too.
Like, just for our...
Unless it's like a book of haikus or something.
Or Instagram
a book of captions.
Captions
could be good.
We can look into that and we'll let you know.
I mean, I am definitely interested in reading this.
Yeah.
Regardless. I'm interested in having one of you summarize it for me.
That can happen.
I think that's what I meant.
so you're interested in me summarizing it?
I'm interested in Bachelorette Society, as in Sammy, covering it in the books.
I mean, this is definitely the book we're picking that week. And I'm excited. A lot happening in September and October. The Emmys, Britney's book.
So The Woman in Me, it's like, I'm not a girl yet, not yet a woman. And do you think that's like a nod to that song?
I think it has to be, because if it's something else, I don't know what the meaning of that would be. Because it's
right.
Like,
I mean,
I'm just trying to find the woman
her,
in me. I'm not a girl, not yet a woman.
The cover is her, no shirt.
Maybe it has to do with like the conservatorship and like she's not a child. She's a woman.
Yeah. Like the woman in her is coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of people whose names start with a B, the Barbie movie is everywhere. The premiere. Several premieres and several press tours have been just, I feel, nonstop happening. It's
really
impossible.
Yet.
It's working. I really want to see
yet.
It.
It's working. I agree. I really want to see it. I might even want to do this whole double feature thing. It kind of sounds like a fun event. Why not?
I have no idea still what the other movie is about.
The nuclear bomb. The creation of the nuclear bomb.
I want to see that so bad.
Yeah,
what else,
not really.
You know what else starts with B?
Boring.
Bomb. Do you guys want to go see the Barbie movie when it
yes.
comes out?
Yes. Should we get tickets?
So
yeah,
so
let's
badly.
Actually do that. I really want to see it. I'm
Can
really
someone have
excited.
A Barbie themed party? I feel like we're
yes.
in the mood to go to a Barbie
I would so
party.
Do a Barbie themed party. Should we do the movie and then go to the party right after?
Can we just see the movie?
Okay, Jordana, we'll have
we'll
the
party.
Have party.
Aileen will drop you off and then we'll go to the
thank
party.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, and look, maybe she'll get some. Maybe we'll get enough people interested in the party that she'll get FOMO. And
it's not. It's not about the FOMO or the party. It's more just like, oh, I have to wear pink. Like, where am
you
I gonna find
pink.
It?
But you do love pink, Aileen.
Yes, I love pink. I just have a lot of pink sweatshirts, not like pink summer dresses.
Do you want to borrow one?
It's like a really specific issue. Okay, wait, but let's go back to Barbie.
They released very little about this movie. I was reading an article. I don't know why. It must have been a slow day. I was reading an article about like Barbie's like stunt double or Margot Robbie's stunt double.
Yeah.
And they didn't even tell like the stunt double what it was about. They just like literally were like, stand here, do this, whatever. And like they were very, very secretive about whatever the plot is.
I think that was probably smart because there were probably so many like doubters about this movie from the beginning and people who like want to snark on it and want to be like kind of hatery about it, mm-hmm. that their best bet was to like keep expectations low, be quiet about everything, and then kind of like build buzz once people have confirmed that it's good and then like invest to the level of how good they believe it really is.
But they've had premieres, right? So I kind of want to, like, it's out. People have seen it. So now I want to know.
I've read good.
What I've seen.
You've read good things?
They've all been very good.
Funny.
Everything I've seen was that it's a positive.
Yeah. But they, I wouldn't say that they're keeping expectations low. Like my
Now they're keeping, now the expectations are high, but I think they were keeping them low for a while or like not allowing them to be higher than like they thought the movie was good.
I assume it's campy, right?
Yeah. I think there's like a satire vibe, humor, musical, satire. It could win an Oscar. You never know.
Well, Michael Cera is in it. I didn't know Michael Cera was in it.
Yeah. And apparently there was like a big group chat of the cast and Michael Cera's not in it because he has a flip phone. I read that in an article. In all of the photos, I just am so in awe of the fact that like Margot Robbie exists and this movie exists and the two have come together as this perfect pairing. Like
totally
it's
agree.
Kismet. Like she is Barbie. Like even when she stands with her legs just like straight, like she wore a really short skirt for one of the last premiere. I don't know where it was, but her legs look just like Barbie.
But it's because she stands like that. But she stands like that in all her red carpet appearances, if you notice. Like, that is her stance. No, not just the Barbie ones. If you look at her in, like, the Met Gala, you look at her in, like, past red carpet appearances, she actually kind of stands a little bit stiff like that.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of funny. I agree. I feel exactly the same way. Like, I'm mesmerized by looking at how she is Barbie,
yeah,
come to life. It's like if you had actually, if they had CGI animated the doll,
agreed,
you would get Margot Robbie.
It's why
I just don't get how it used to be.
She's
Amy
so pretty.
Schumer.
I think they were probably going for like a more obvious, overtly subversive angle at that point.
Right. They must.
And
have
now they're going like a little campy, positive humor, I think.
Right. I mean, it seems like it's going to be, like, funny, like, very, like, self-deprecating, I would assume. But everyone on these red carpet appearances, and I've seen it, like you said, everywhere, like, it's a little bit too, it's bordering on too much. Everyone looks like they're having a really good time.
I know.
Like, it's like the opposite of that Ashton Kutcher, Reese Witherspoon, red carpet stuff. Everyone looks like they're just having, like, a ton of fun, like, really happy to be there.
I feel like they were, again, this is another thing they were really smart about. Like, I bet they saw, like, the Don't Worry, Darling press, like, red carpets and saw how a red carpet vibe can really set the tone for how people receive a movie. Mm. Also, the movie has to be good.
Yeah.
But once they knew it was good and, like, knew other people agreed that it was good, it feels, like, exciting. It's kind of like, you know, how the, like, White Lotus characters, like, the actors will post from being in Italy and it looks, like, so fun. Kind of reminds me of that, but
yeah,
on the red carpet.
Like, I could only sort of judge it right now on the Barbie and Ken, but like, even just going back to how perfect Margot is, her acting range goes into funny, right? Like, she can be funny and sarcastic, and like, she does that. And then it's also amazing. Sure, people say that he's older, but like that Ryan Gosling exists.
He's
as
Ken.
This, like, funny, but also the body is exactly Ken, and hair and face. Like,
yeah.
It's, yes, sure. Like, again, he's an older version of Ken, but his persona and acting range fits into this exact type of movie. It's just like, it's just wild.
And Greta Gerwig as the writer. Also, her whole vibe fits into that too.
Even Margot Robbie is a little old to be playing Barbie.
Ugh, but she
what?
Just,
how old
just,
is Barbie? Barbie is every age.
I feel like
Barbie age.
Is that they're always talking about Barbie's little sister, and she's like 8. So Barbie
well,
must be
she's
like
a
22.
Maybe she's, I don't know. I mean,
Barbie
honestly.
Barbie's half-sister?
Yeah.
She's ageless. Yeah. By Ramona.
Yeah. Honestly, when I think of Barbie, I think of someone who's like 24 tops.
I guess that makes sense. But then how is she a doctor already? And
exactly, all these other she's things. Ageless. Right.
But okay, I think that
by Ramona.
I saw this really. I saw this really adorable video of the beautiful Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling this morning, where Margot was talking about how, like, she was attached to the movie and they were now trying to cast Ken, and that she had seen this video of Ryan Gosling, like, stopping people in just like a regular paparazzi video from his like regular life of him, like not even in a movie, like stopping random people from fighting like on the street or something. And she was saying how like the person who plays Ken will need to be like willing to come second to the Barbie character. Like that's who that actor plays, and that they would have to be like kind of secure enough to be like number two in the movie with like a female director and like the way this movie is. And she was like, I could just tell that Ryan was going to be the perfect guy for this role.
Well, I read somewhere that like actors are also like even more attractive. It's like the opposite of influencers. Like influencers, when you see them in person, are less attractive. And actors, when you see them in person, are like much more attractive than any pictures you've seen of them.
I think that makes sense because actors also, when you see them in doing their jobs, like they don't always, they're not always looking their most glamorous. They're looking like the role.
Right. It's HD, really HD on a huge screen.
Yeah. And influencers are always kind of like editing themselves in many cases. Not everyone, obviously, but in a lot of cases, or picking the most attractive photo, even just right. You pick the most attractive yeah. photo of yourself always.
And they're always doing minus 0.5, you know, so it's like.
And there's a lot of effort that goes into that. So you're always looking your best rather than actors who are like kind of look shitty on occasion.
For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision-engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepy's Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their Zip Footy Pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES. All right, shall we discuss Jonah Hill?
Jonah Hill?
Literally cannot avoid Jonah Hill headlines. You guys obviously have seen it. I'm excited to hear what you think about it. I like, I can't wait till this is off of my feed, but Jordan, what do you think?
The first I had heard of it was from Sammy, who showed me like the screenshot. Did you? I don't know how you found it, because you just found the screenshots that she was posting.
I feel like I saw it almost like a day before it went really big. And then I sent it to you, but I didn't really have any context on it.
It was like on a weird account. And I was like, what?
Oh, I follow that account. They post great stuff. Glorified Gossip Girl. They're great. They post amazing things. Just big fan. But so basically, like, she had just screenshotted all of Sarah Brady's posts on her story. I was sort of confused about the context. And at that point, no one was really talking about it. So I just sort of sent it to you, Jordana, and then didn't really think about it much.
And then it really blew up.
Then it really blew up. And I don't know. My feelings have sort of, I have a lot of different areas of opinions.
Right. This is kind of a complex thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot, I feel like, that goes into this. I feel like there's like a lot of weird nuanced things about this story, which add or take away from the thing. And people feel very strongly about it that I've seen like on Twitter in one direction or another. Like, I've seen a lot of interesting takes on it. I think that many of them are valid. I think the fact that, I guess, he made his own like therapy movie has some context to it.
Yeah. When I first read it, I was like, I didn't, first of all, I never watched Stutz.
It's a little boring, I thought.
Right. Like
I liked it, but I didn't like Jonah Hill in it.
You did say that a while ago when it first came out, I remember.
Yeah.
Do we want to just summarize?
It's hard to summarize because it's like hard to summarize without reading like all the texts. Because like, I think the nuance comes in sort of the interpretation of the texts.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I think at this point, everybody's read the text.
Yeah, everyone knows what the texts say. So context that I was not aware of when I first saw them, that was that A, Jonah Hill had just like had a baby with a different woman.
Right.
I guess I knew he had broken up with Sarah Brady, but I didn't even realize he was dating a new person, to be honest with you.
I didn't either.
Let alone anywhere near having a baby. So I was A, confused about that. I also didn't really understand why she had posted these now, especially when Stutz had been out a while ago, if that was kind of like the
impetus.
The impetus.
Yeah, it seemed a little random.
But then I realized that I think it might have come as like a response to, did you see what happened with Kiki Palmer and her boyfriend?
Was that a response to that?
Or not those response, were like
two
but like
kind of independent things.
Independent, but I do feel like they sort of, maybe she was partly inspired by that to do it now.
The Kiki Palmer thing seems so much like extremely straightforwardly fucked up to me.
I think they both are straightforwardly fucked up, but the difference is that his was public already. So it wasn't like she revealed that he did this. Like, people
saw. He revealed that he did this.
Right. Yeah, no, because he commented it publicly. So my feeling is like, after that pile on where, just for context, anyone who doesn't know, Kiki Palmer's boyfriend and father of their child basically commented on about an outfit that she had worn to, I don't remember what concert it was. Was Beyonce? I don't know.
She's dancing with Usher.
Yeah. Oh, she was dancing. Okay. So she's like dancing in like at a concert, and her boyfriend comments like, or her partner comments like, you shouldn't be wearing something that's like,
you're a mom. Basically like,
you shouldn't be wearing that because you're a mom. Shaming her outfit because she's a mom. And people like, obviously piled onto him because that's a fucked up thing to say.
And they're currently together.
I think they might have broken up.
After this tweet?
After this happened.
Okay. I mean, but at the time he tweeted this,
that's
they're
why
currently
I was confused,
together.
Because all the headlines are like either boyfriend or ex-boyfriend.
Well, because he was her boyfriend.
Who is the person?
To me, this is a breakupable offense.
Oh, yeah. And I think that is what happened. That's right. Why the headlines are mixed. So then that sort of, I wonder if that, like, because that was a big conversation sort of around the internet. So I wonder if that's sort of what drove her to do it then.
I mean, to me, it's kind of like they're very different in that one is like, this is your current partner. This is the mother of your child. And you're publicly trying to embarrass them on the internet.
No, I didn't mean to compare. I didn't mean to like set them as a comparison. I was just thinking about like the context of like why she released them at the time she did, because they're sort of in the same vein of like, regardless of whether one is done publicly or privately, like trying to control your partner, what they're wearing, and shaming them for what they're wearing because of, based on like their characteristics. I think that that's, I wonder if that's what made her do it, like at that moment. That's just my theory on maybe why she did it at that point.
I read that she said that she waited for them to have the baby for her to release these things.
That doesn't make any sense. I believe you read it, but I'm saying I don't even understand why that logic is better, because the baby would now, you know, baby can make their own decision. Like, what's the baby? The timing seems weird to me. I do think, obviously, this relationship, extremely unhealthy, not a good relationship. Whether you want to say it's emotionally abusive or not, I don't know that it's that straightforward. I think it is. Obviously, like, he seems like very insecure and very lame, and like the texts are very, like, you know,
controlling.
Yes, for sure. But I don't know that it, to me, I don't know that it warrants putting the screenshots as anything else other than revenge to me.
Yeah, I mean, I am in no position to speak to the abuse. I don't think that the texts were okay. I will say I really think the texts are very much not okay. And like, if I read that, a friend's text, I were then to go talk to someone else about it, I would use the term emotional abuse to describe it. So like, but I don't want to like therapize, because that's also part of the conversation. But regardless, I think that they're really fucked up texts. My question is like, with the reveal, to your point about like the revenge and the revealing, is like, I guess when you put in the context of like, he's tried to position himself as this like mentally healthy person, but he isn't, then I'm like, okay, well then I see why you might put that out when that show came out. And like, that sort of made sense to me. But I guess I just don't really, my question is like, at what point does this, what if he wasn't famous? Like, what if he was just like someone, just two people dating? Would releasing that person's text be like on the internet, even on your like private account to all the people you know, or let's say like in a high school or a college, if someone like released other people's texts because they thought that like it was revenge or it was emotional abuse, whatever it is, I guess I'm like, what are the implications for thinking like, all, you know, that's kind of okay at every circumstance? But I also understand why, like, if she had come forward and said Jonah Hill was emotionally abusive to me, that people would have been like, show the proof. So she's in a tough position as someone who wants to come forward. I feel like I personally didn't have like enough context, and maybe still don't, on like why she did this at this particular point. Like, that's the thing that is still confusing to me. Like, I don't feel, if she had positioned it, maybe, like, I don't want to pick her apart.
Like, yeah. I think it opened up like a lot of good conversation in the public, the though, because emotional abuse, like, I was reading about it because of this whole thing. It's like, so there's like subtle emotional abuse. There's like so many variations of it. And it's really, really, really hard. If you're in it, it's really hard to pinpoint and hard to get out. And so like, people who feel it but can't like prove it necessarily without like physical abuse or it becoming violent, like, I think in a way, like, sure, maybe it was revenge or whatever her intentions are, I think it was the conversation being made public is a good thing, because you can sort of read the comments around it. That said, though, it's not a good thing when you see a lot of the backlash being like, this is why men shouldn't be in therapy, or like the therapy speak and all of that. There was like a lot of memes about that.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more. Many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
I just think that, like, I agree with that, and it's not always so easy or right. Obvious when something is emotionally abusive, but I think she's also, like, I think about the fact that, like, if I think about every relationship I've ever had and someone went through all my texts with that person and shared the worst things that I had ever said and just mine and just cropped it and just sent it in an effort, what it feels like, kind of to destroy my career. It's not like they sent it to me and were like, when you sent these things, it was really hurtful and I found it to be emotionally abusive. It doesn't, I think there is a level of, to me, it didn't seem worthy of that. That's my opinion. And someone might disagree and that's okay. To me, I saw those texts and I was like, they're fucked up, but it didn't seem to me to be like, that I didn't think that was okay. And I think that we've all, again, if someone went through all of the texts that we've ever sent someone, I'm sure someone could pick something in it that felt emotionally abusive to the other person or fucked up. And I just didn't think it was right. I think that it was weird that Jonah Hill even said those things, especially put them in writing, knowing that he's famous, seemed like a very stupid move. And again, he seems extremely insecure. And I don't think that the texts are okay.
Right.
But I also don't think that they're necessarily, like, that this was done in a healthy way either, the way that she posted them.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, both things can be true. You know?
Right. That's why I'm just so confused on, like, the timeline. And, like, maybe I missed something, but, like, did she ever say, oh, like, I'm putting this out so that you, like, I can start a... Oh, she shouldn't... I feel badly picking her, like, intentions apart, because I do think his texts are really... Think about the list. Like, that is really, really, really fucked up. And I do think there is a conversation around, like, weaponizing therapy that should be had.
Well, it's more like he's calling it, these are my boundaries, when really he should, like, if he was really being emotionally healthy, what he would say, could say is, when these things happen, I feel really insecure. When I see you surfing with other men, I know I'm being ridiculous, but I feel really insecure. When I see pictures, when I see that there's people, you know, we put up these pictures, I get really jealous. Like,
yeah.
Those are all things that are, like, okay to say. And don't make you a monster. Like, the way he phrases them is really fucked up, because he's trying to basically, like, moralize them and say, like, if you want to be a model, like, go live, like, some superficial, lame, losery life. And, like, that's okay. That's cool. Like, he's saying it in, like, a
he's threatening
like,
her
an aggressive like way. The fact that he like the boundaries of like, I don't like these things that you do, it's not my preference, and I don't like want, and I prefer to be with someone who's more private on social media, that's like totally fine to me. Like,
but then he should have just been like,
that's what I'm saying.
We aren't a match. I'm going to break up with you.
Well, that's
you.
What like, I'm
that's
saying.
Actually,
that's
actually...
That would
it's
be like...
He made an ultimatum.
If he had a good therapist to like actually help him realize that all of this shit he's saying is about him and not her, like that's how he would phrase these things. I don't think that the list of things that he wants in a partner is like right or wrong, but the way that he presents them to her is like controlling and like not the way you should do it.
Right. And I think it's the fact that he thinks that he's being this like hero by having these boundaries that he calls boundaries. They're really ultimatums.
I just find it also the whole thing about the surfing and like there's so much about surfing.
That's not surf culture.
And like, yeah, the surf culture. And then you see the photos of him surfing and you're all just like, this is all like the topics that like the things like you're saying how he's so insecure, like all these the things that he thinks about feel so.
But he's not calling, right? He's not owning his own insecurity, which is again, he's projecting his insecurity onto there being something wrong with her, which is the manipulative,
right.
Like, unhealthy thing that he's doing.
Right.
And I do see if you're an ex-girlfriend and he did all that shit to you. And then he goes and like positions himself as like this enlightened mental health documenting, so progressive celebrity. And then, like, this is like what you are in a relationship. I feel like that just means that you should not be in a relationship at this moment. And
yeah, the documentary wasn't him saying that he was like a
it was more about
man.
His therapist and how his therapist was like great.
Yeah,
right. But he chose to make right. That's a choice to make
because the therapist was like sick, and right. So he wanted to document his life. And like things that he's done or like his methods. But what I didn't, and I liked that. I thought that was like a cool thing to see. The part that I didn't like so much was just Jonah Hill being Jonah Hill. And it came off. And yeah, he talks about his insecurity, like especially about his body. Like that's a big one. It's just, he comes off so image conscious that like this.
I mean, clearly.
This all makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think no one can argue that Jonah Hill isn't extremely insecure from any of this stuff. Like that to me is the one like absolute truth here. Like,
yeah. And I mean, now it seems like it does seem like she got out of the relationship. I mean, she posted texts from after her relationship, from after they had ended it. And there, did you see the text where she was like, just because of my own chicks over dicks code, I would appreciate if you would tell the new girl you are dating that you've been like providing support for me, you've been texting me, sexting me. And he like blew up at her for saying like, no, I didn't, like we haven't seen each other in 2 months, I came to your apartment, because she went to law school in Hawaii basically, so they broke up I think because of that. And they hadn't like spoken for it seems like about like 2 months-ish. And I don't know. It was just very like, he could have just been like, yeah, I'll tell her, you know?
I don't know. It didn't see, again, like the part of the reason that they're all like entangled too, though, to me is like part of that to me seems like, it seems like her motivation for posting these texts are not just to warn the millions of other people that could come across Jonah Hill. Like he's a celebrity.
No,
like,
not Jonah Hill, but like emotional abuse, like what it looks like.
All right. Well, I feel like we could talk about this forever, and it's clearly, I don't know if it's over, but we'll see what happens. But who are we sending to the Caymans to not surf, but go sell timeshares?
I think it's pretty clear we are sending Jonah Hill, regardless of her releasing the text or not. I think he can go.
Just to get some perspective, maybe.
I think Darius Jackson, Keke Palmer's boyfriend, deserves to go more personally. I think that was more fucked up.
I think we could send him. I think he's a good candidate also.
We could get 2 tickets this time, send them both together.
Maybe we could send a better therapist.
A little competition for timeshare sales is good for everyone.
It is. I think so. I mean, Britney Spears deserves to go first class because she's already said she wants to in her caption.
She's going to the game. She's going to Bermuda.
Bahamas. Yeah. Okay. So we can send them both. Maybe we send them both on like main cabin. Like they don't even go comfort plus.
Okay, cool. They can last just humble themselves there.
We should send them the therapist from Succession who
broke his head in the pool.
Broke his tooth. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has to go toothless.
But not homeless. Okay. What reviewer is going to where they want to go hypothetically?
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I have a good one. So we had like a sexing conversation after the Idol, and we asked you guys to submit like your favorite like non-gratuitous sex scene, and they're finally like Apple finally uploaded them. So there's some good ones. I'm going to read a great review here. All right. This is from Han.House. She says she enjoys the interaction. She says, love listening to you ladies each week. I feel like you're relatable, and half the time one of you doesn't have any idea what's going on and the others then find it not easy to explain.
That is so true.
She got us. Also, a sex scene that is important to the plot, Dirty Dancing. It's pretty tasteful as far as sex scenes go, too.
I have a confession. I've never seen Dirty Dancing.
Oh, my God. What? You should. It's a great movie.
I will. Oh, my God. No, Holly's freaking out in the chat.
In the corner.
I know the line. And trust me, I will quote it as if I have seen the movie. But I have not seen the movie. I don't know what happened when like I was supposed to see that. But it just didn't happen. I don't think you're going to watch it. You don't think I will?
No.
It might happen.
I think it's going to slip your mind and you're going to be like on a thread or something. You're going to be like, I forgot completely. And
you know, we never know. Maybe I could bring it up in our obscure segment next week.
Oh, where are we sending her? Where are we going to send her?
Where does she want to go?
She didn't tell us where she wants to go, but clearly she loves Dirty Dancing. So maybe we should send her to
the Catskills.
The Catskills.
Oh, the Catskills.
No, let's send her somewhere more glam.
They have some really nice. No, they have really nice places in the Catskills.
She's going with Sammy to Taylor Swift in LA.
Yes.
Okay, maybe she'll love that.
It's going to be really fun. We're going to pick our outfits.
Hypothetically. All right. Well, this is fun, guys. And that is it for this week's At Betches podcast. You can follow me at Aileen.
You can follow me at Jordana Abraham.
And follow me at Sammy. And tune in next week to the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, Rebecca Sosmacat, and Aliza Zim. Editing by Basilio Perez. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.